نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillah ta'ala, we would like to summarize that which we have discussed in the previous lectures concerning the sharh or the explanation of the essay of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab ibn Sulaiman al-Tamimi al-Najdi rahimahullah, his essay entitled Al-Usul al-Sitta. In those discussions, we have covered a number of points which obviously we are not able to cover in detail this evening. However, I will attempt to summarize the main point from the text of the book of what the Imam has said, the main point of what he has said, and then to concentrate on the questions that were at the end of each lecture as a means of preparation for the examination, inshaAllah, next week. If there are any questions that are left at the end of each subject or each principle, then we can look at them. Anything that is left unclear, we will attempt to clarify it. And as in the past, the examination will be based upon the questions that are at the end of each lecture. And Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah began his lecture, or began his essay Al-Usul al-Sitta, by mentioning the name of Allah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And then he said, مِنْ عَجَبَ الْعُجَابِ, the most amazing thing that matters, وَأَقْبَلَ الْآيَاتِ الدَّالَ عَلَى قُدْرَةِ الْمَلْكَ الْغَلَّابِ, and the greatest signs that indicate the power of Allah and الْمَلْكَ الْغَلَّابِ, the one who is the king, and the one who is the conqueror, the vanquisher. He said, of those amazing things which indicate the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَصِدْفَةُ أُصُولُ بَيَّنَكَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بَيَّانٍ وَاضِحًا لِلْأَوَامِ فَوْقَ مَا يَظُنُّ الظَّانُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made clear these six principles with a clarity that is sufficient for the common people. It is beyond what anyone might imagine. And after this clarity, ثُمَّ بَعْدَ هَذَا غَلِطَ فِيهَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَذْكِيَ الْعَالَمِ وَأُخْلَاءَ بَنِي آدَمْ إِلَّا قَلُّوا الْقَلِيلِ. And after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made clear these six fundamentals, these six very important fundamental principles that the Muslims were in need of in order to worship Allah properly and in order to live the way that would be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, to have success in this world and the next. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made these principles crystal clear, many of the most intelligent and rational of the people of the world, of the children of Adam, Bani Adam, the human beings, many of them erred concerning these principles, except an all but negligible number, illa aqallu al-qaleel, except a few, a small amount of people. The first principle that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah mentioned, Al-Aql Al-Awwal, it is related to Al-Tawheed, Ikhlas Al-Deen Lillahi Ta'ala Wahdahu La Sharika La, yani singling out the Deen, meaning Al-Ibadah, singling out worship for Allah alone, not having any associate with Him. وَبَيَانُ ذِدِّعِي الَّذِي هُوَ الشِّرْكِ بِاللَّهِ. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made clear the opposite of a tawheed, that is a shirk billah, yani associating something with Allah, as an equal with Allah, or as a partner with Allah in that which is of the exclusive right of Allah alone. وَكَوْنَ أَكْثَرِ الْقُرْآنِ فِي بَيَانِ هَذَا الْأَصْلِ. And also that most of the Qur'an, most of what we find in the Qur'an, it has come to clarify this principle, the first principle, that is التوحيد, that worship is for Allah alone, and the opposite of it, shirk. Most of the Qur'an deals with this. مِنْ وُجُوهٍ شَتَّى بِكَلَامْ يَفْحَمُهُ أَبْلَدُ الْعَامَ. يعني, through different perspectives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clarified it in different ways with speech that is understood by the most ignorant of the common masses of the people. ثُمَّ لَمَّا صَارَ عَلَىٰ أَكْثِرِ الْأُمَّةِ مَا صَارَ أَظْهَرَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانَ الْأَخْلَاصِ فِي سُورَةِ تَنَقُّصْ الصَّالِحِينَ وَالتَّقْصِيرِ فِي حُقُوبِهِمْ وَأَظْهَرَ لَهُمُ الشِّرْكِ بِاللَّهِ فِي سُورَةِ مُحَبَّةِ الصَّالِحِينَ وَأَتْبَعِهِمْ. Then, when the matter reached its condition, when things became as they are today, yani after the Muslims deviated from Islam and began to misunderstand the deen of Allah, he said at that point, the shaytan presented to the people al-ikhlas, yani worshipping Allah alone, the worship, offering of worship to Allah alone. Shaytan has presented it to the people in the form of tanaqqus as-salihin, that the one who worships Allah alone, this means he is yani belittling or degrading or lessening the status of the righteous. Wa taqsir fi huquqihim, and he is falling short in fulfilling the rights of the Salihin, meaning that whoever directs his worship to Allah alone, shaitan has made the people think that this is a form of lessening the status of the Salihin, because you are not giving them attention, you are not giving them any worship. It is as though you are not respecting them if you worship Allah alone. Shaitan, la'anatullah alayhi, he has made the people think like this, that the cloth, he has made it look as though it is lessening the status of the righteous and falling short and fulfilling their rights, and he has made the shirk billah, the one who worships other than Allah, or often some type of worship to other than Allah, he has presented that to the people in the form of being the love of the righteous. The one who makes shirk, and he offers some type of worship to the righteous, to the saints or whatever, if he supplicates to them or sacrifices for them or whatever, he made them think that this was showing their love for the righteous and the followers of the Salihin. Yani he distorted the picture of al-ikhlas, the worship of Allah alone, and he distorted the picture of ash-shirk and made them the opposite of what they really are. The discussion, of course, is a lengthy discussion. However, what is important is the issues that we have mentioned in the questions at the end of the handout. Those issues are the important issues, and those are the things that we should concentrate upon. The first question of that lecture, it was mentioned the title of the book under study in this course and its subject. And the title of the book, as we have just mentioned, is Al-Usul al-Sittah. Al-Usul al-Sittah, the six fundamentals. Those six fundamentals which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made clear for the common masses of the people. And then after that, even the intelligent people, they have erred in these principles. Yani they have deviated from them. And those principles, they are al-Tawheed, and then ijtima', coming together and avoiding separation and obeying those in authority from amongst the Muslims, and what is ilm and who are the ulama and who are the awliya of Allah, and the doubtful matter, the shubha which shaitan has conceived or contrived or invented concerning the abandonment of the Quran and Sunnah for following the opinions of men. Yani the shubha that he presented to the people is that the Qur'an and Sunnah are too difficult for anyone to understand, therefore you should just follow the opinions of men. The second question mentioned the author's name, date of birth and death, or something of his life and work. The name of the author is Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab ibn Sulaiman al-Tamimi al-Najdi. He was born in the year 1115 and died in 1206. And he was engaged mostly in seeking knowledge and teaching, and in seeking knowledge and spreading that knowledge, and calling to Allah and spreading al-tawheed and the sunnah, and fighting against al-shirk and al-bid'ah. And also, he has written many books. Many of them are small books, and some of them are even comprehensive books. And he was mostly engaged in seeking knowledge, and making da'wah and spreading the correct Islam and righteousness. The third question mentioned the first fundamental and its importance in Islam. The first fundamental is al-ikhlas fi al-deen wa bayan diddihi wa huwa al-shirk. Ya'ani, worshipping Allah alone, offering all worship to Allah alone, and the clarification of what is the opposite of it, ya'ani, what is al-shirk. And this ikhlas in deen, it means the tawheed of ubudiyyah. And it's tawheed of ubudiyyah, primarily because it is the tawheed of ubudiyyah, not the tawheed of rububiyyah or the tawheed of asma wa sifat, that most of the prophets and messengers had difficulty with their people concerning. It was in the worship of Allah, singling the worship for Allah alone, that they were concentrating upon. And the importance of this tawheed, tawheed in general, and tawheed al-ubudiyyah or tawheed al-uluhiyyah, is in the fact that it is the very purpose for which the human beings have been created, to worship Allah alone. It is for this reason that the books have been revealed and the prophets have been sent. It is for the purpose of establishing a tawheed, and no one would enter the Jannah without it. Which type of shirk is referred to in the word ikhlas ad-deen for Allah? The type of tawheed is referred to in this principle in the words of Imam Qadim Abdul Wahab, ikhlas ad-deen lillah. It is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, or Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah. And from the perspective of Allah, al-Uluhiyyah, it means that He is the only Ilah. And from the perspective of the creatures, al-Ubudiyyah, it means that their worship should be given to Allah alone. And the meaning of the two are the same. And that the actions of the human being should be directed towards Allah alone without making any partner with Him. How can one achieve this ikhlas of deen for Allah alone? How can it be achieved? Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Husaymin, rahimahullah, in his explanation of these principles that we have discussed, he has stated three important points, or we might even add to them a fourth. And he said that the way that ikhlas of deen, that singling out worship for Allah alone can be achieved, is that a person has ikhlas in his qasd, in his intention, in his niyyah. That whatever he does, the foundation of it, the source of it has to be that it is done purely for the sake of Allah alone, not for any other reason or any other benefit. And that he has to be mukhlisan, yani sincere in his muhabba, in his love of Allah alone. Because whoever loves Allah alone, then that one, he will obey Allah. And he will do what Allah has commanded him to do. Wa mukhlisan lillahi fi ta'zeemihi. In the glorification and exaltation of Allah, he should be sincere. Because the one who glorifies Allah and exalts Allah, he will not disobey Him. In that way, the person will fulfill the commands of Allah and avoid His prohibitions. And if his intention and what he has done in fulfilling Allah's commands and avoiding His prohibitions is sincerely for Allah alone, his niyyah is for Allah alone, then that is the way to achieve ikhlas and deen. And also the Shaykh has added to this that he should be mukhlisan lillahi fi zahirihi wa batinihi. And inwardly and outwardly, not only showing the appearance of sincerity for Allah, but in the heart it has to be also present. Explain how shaitan has deceived many of the people in reference to this fundamental, this first fundamental, al-asl al-awwal. It is that when the condition of the Muslims reached the condition that it reached, and that the people deviated and lost the knowledge of the deen and began to go astray, then Shaytan, la'natullah alayhi, he has made al-ikhlas, and in worshipping Allah alone, he has made it appear to the people as though it is belittling and degrading and taking from the status of the righteous, the salihin, the awliya of Allah, whatever. He has made it appear to them as though this is taking from them and it is not fulfilling their rights, and it is not giving them what they have a right to. And in fact, the rights that the people are giving to them is the rights which are the exclusive rights of Allah alone. And he has also made shirk billah, yani associating something with Allah, he has presented to them in the form of being muhabbatul salihin. He has made their acts of shirk, whatever they have offered to the so-called awliya, or the saints, or whatever, he has made those acts of worship which they have given to them appear as though this is in fact a demonstration of your love for the righteous. When in fact it is shirk, it causes the person to be punished in the fire eternally. Number 7, define a shirk and its division. A shirk, it is associating something with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or someone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which is the exclusive right of Allah alone. Associating someone, whether saying that they have a right to that thing or that they share in it or whatever, associating anyone, anything with Allah in that which is His exclusive right. And that includes the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and rububiyyah, that He is the only Rabb, the Lord and Creator, and the one who gives life and death and controls the affairs of the universe alone without sharing, without anyone sharing in that, and also His uluhiyyah, that He is the divine one that deserves to be worshipped, His asma wa sifat, that He is alone in having the right to be described with the perfect names and perfect qualities that He has described Himself with in the Quran, or with which He has been described by the Prophet ﷺ in the authentic Sunnah. The divisions of shirk, the shirk has been divided into different divisions by different scholars in different ways. However, Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Taymiyyah rahimahullah has divided shirk here into two divisions. He says that shirk is of two divisions, and here he is referring to the types of shirk, meaning major shirk and minor shirk. He says shirk is of two types, shirk akbar and shirk asghar. Shirk akbar, major shirk, it is that which takes a person out of Islam. The person who falls into that, it takes them out of Islam. They are not a Muslim while they are doing such. And only if they repent sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could they escape from the consequences of that major shirk, which means that they will be in the fire eternally. So the Shaykh has defined major shirk as every type of shirk that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every type of action that he has described with the description of shirk, while it is a complete nullification of the tawheed, yani that which totally nullifies tawheed, this is what we are talking about when we say major shirk, that thing which nullifies a person's tawheed and takes them out of Islam. The other type of shirk is shirk asghar, and it is every action or every deed that a person does, whether it is action or speech, every deed that a person does which has been described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as being shirk. It has been described as being shirk, however, does not completely or totally nullify the tawheed. And it is a type of shirk which affects the tawheed. It affects its perfection or decreases its perfection, however, doesn't totally nullify the tawheed and it doesn't take a person out of Islam. It is still shirk, but it is called shirk asghar because the person who commits such shirk, he is not removed from Islam, and he would not be subject to be punished in the hellfire eternally. The last question gives some examples of different types of shirk. In the shirk, the Shaykh rahimahullah has mentioned in his sharh, in his explanation, a number of different types of shirk. From amongst them, he mentioned shirk in speech, in the hadith in which it is reported that a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, MashaAllah wa shi'ta. It is the will of Allah and your will. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, أَجَعَلْتَنِي لِلَّهِ نِدًّا. Have you made me as an equal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, قُلْ MashaAllah wahda. Say, it is the will of Allah alone. This is a type of shirk, shirk in speech. The person says, it is the will of Allah and your will. That means he has associated, he has made equal the will of Allah with the will of a human being. And this is shirk, shirk in speech. It is minor shirk. Also, he has mentioned shirk in swearing. Shirk fil half, halaf. He said, that is that which has been mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith in which he said, من حلف بغير الله فقد كفر أو أشرك. Whoever swears by other than Allah, then he has fallen into disbelief or into shirk. Whoever swears by other than Allah. So also this is a type of shirk. It is minor shirk, except with the conditions that we have discussed in Kitab al-Tawheed previously. That is, unless the person who swears by other than Allah actually believes that the thing or the one that they are swearing by is equal to Allah in ta'zeem. Of course, most people who swear by other than Allah, they are not thinking that that thing which they are swearing by is equal to Allah. However, if a person did believe that, then in that case, swearing by other than Allah will not be minor shirk. It would be major shirk that takes the person out of Islam. And likewise, he mentioned another important example in the hadith in which the people came to the Prophet ﷺ. A group of people came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Khayrana wa Khayra Ibnina. They said, O Messenger of Allah, O the one who is the best of us, and the one who is the son of the best of us. And they went on praising the Prophet ﷺ. And then he responded to them saying, Ya ayyuhan nas, qulu biqawlikum, wa la yastahwiyannakum ash-shaytan. Say what you are saying, but don't let shaitan seduce you into following your hawa, your desire, so that you go to the extreme in praising me. Or in that case, for praising anyone else who is less than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said to them, "Ana Muhammadun Abdullah wa Rasuluhu." I am Muhammad, the slave of Allah and His Messenger. That is the status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, the status of an abd, ubudiyyah to Allah, and the status of al-rasul, of risala. He said, that is sufficient for me. لا أحب أن ترفعوني فوق منزلتي التي أنزلني الله عز وجل. I don't like that you should raise me up above the status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to me or assigned to me. The next asl that the shaykh has mentioned, al-asl al-thani, he said, al-asl al-thani, أمر الله بالاجتماع في الدين ونهى عن التفرق فيه فبين الله هذا بيانا شافيا فافهمه العوام ونهانا أن نكون كالذين تفرقوا واختلفوا قبلنا فهلكوا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to ijtima', unity and community and coming together. He has ordered us that the Muslims should be together in ijtima'. And likewise in the deen of Islam. And he said, and likewise, وَنَهَا عَنْ أَتَفَرُّ فِيهِ. And he has prohibited us from separation in division and disunity in the deen of Allah. This is a very important principle that came in the Quran and so many places, and also in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The order of being together, of sticking together, of uniting with one another, and helping one another, and supporting one another, and working together in the deen of Allah, and not separating, and dividing, and being disunited. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this very clear, unequivocally clear, such that even the common people can understand it. Likewise, He has prohibited us from being like those who have separated, and divided themselves, and differed amongst themselves, the people before us, فَحَلَفُوا, and then as a result of that they were destroyed. And those who divided themselves and separated from one another and differed and argued and disputed with one another, the end result of that was that they were destroyed. وَذَكَرَ أَنَّهُ أَمَرَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بِالْإِجْتِمَاعِ فِي الدِّينِ. He has mentioned that he has ordered the Muslims with al-ijtima', coming together and being united in the deen of Allah, and he has prohibited them from التفرق وَنَهَاهُمْ عَنْ التَفَرُّقْ. He has prohibited us from separating and dividing with one another, from one another. وَيَزِيدُهُ وُضُوحًا مَا وَرَدَتْ بِهِ السُنَّةِ مِنَ الْعَجَبِ الْعُجَابِ فِي ذَلِكَ. And what increases the clarity of this matter that which has been reported in the Sunnah, yani such amazing things in this matter, the matter of the order of being united and not separating, from مَصَالَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَىٰ أَنَّ الْإِفْتِرَاقِ فِي أُصُولِ الدِّينِ وَفُرُوعِهِ هُوَ العلم والفقه في الدين. Then the matter reached the point. It reached the point. Then the matter reached the point. Yani the condition of the Muslims, the situation reached the point where the people lost the correct understanding. It reached the point where an iftiraq, separation and division and disunity in the usul of the deen and in the furu' of the deen. And the usul means in the fundamental, the basics of the deen, meaning the aqidah, the belief, the creed, the different separation and division in the fundamentals of the deen, in the Islamic beliefs, and in the furu, the secondary matters, meaning in the Islamic jurisprudence, in the fiqh, in the matters of fiqh, separation and division in the fundamentals and in the secondary matters, it became considered as al-ilm al-fiqh. And if the people began to think that separation and division and disunity, that this is real knowledge and this is real understanding in the deen. وَصَارَ الْإِجْتِمَاعُ فِي الدِّينِ لَا يَقُولُهُ إِلَّا زَنْدِيكٌ أَوْ مَجْنُونٌ. And the one who calls to unity and being united and being together in community, it reached the point where the one who calls to this ijtima' fi al-deen, that the Muslims should come together and be together, they said no one says it, no one calls to it, except a zindiq, heretic, or atheist, or freethinker. They are the only ones who call to such. Yani, that was the extent to which they have deviated, that the one who calls the Muslims to be together, they said this one is a heretic, he's a deviant. He has lost his understanding, he has lost the deen. Or a majnoon person, or he has lost his mind. Here again the Shaykh has discussed, and Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Uthaymeen rahimahullah has discussed a number of very important matters. course, the discussion is a lengthy discussion. So what we intend to do is just to look at the questions, and those questions were placed with the intention of trying to focus on the important matters of what he has discussed in the explanation of this principle. The first question, what is al-aql al-thani? The second fundamental mentioned by the author. Al-aql al-thani, it is al-ijtima' fi al-deen wa al-nahyu an al-tafarruq fihi. Yani, that the Muslims should come together in unity. They should have togetherness and community in the deen. And that they are prohibited from separation and division in the deen of Allah. And that we should not be like those who came before, who differed with one another, and as a result of their difference, they separated and became disunited. But we should be like the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. When they differed with one another, it wasn't a cause for them to separate and disunite. They accepted the difference from amongst them as long as it was a legitimate difference. And it wasn't in those things that was clear to them from, and in that which there's no room for difference of opinion. And that will be discussed later on in one of the other questions. The second question mentioned a proof from the Quran for this asl. And the Shaykh has mentioned a number of proofs. The clearest of them, Allah knows best, is that which is mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah 2, Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 102 and 103. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. All you who believe, fear Allah as you should be feared, and do not die except as Muslimun. Except as Muwahidun, the people of Tawheed. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. In these words of verse here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us in this ayat, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ, and hold fast to the rope of Allah. That means the Quran and the Sunnah, the deen of Allah. Hold fast to the rope of Allah, jami'an, all together. Not disunited and separated, but jami'an. And also in this ayat, there's an indication, an ishara or a hint to the fact that the unity of the Muslims is based on holding to the rope of Allah, holding to the Quran and the Sunnah. That is the basis of true unity. And whoever holds on to it, they will be united. And whoever deviates from it, they will be separated. وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold fast together, all together, to the rope of Allah. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And do not separate and be disunited. To the end of the ayah. The next question, what is the end result of التفرق, separation and division, and الاختلاف, differing? The end result of separation and division and differing is that which is mentioned further in the same chapter in verse 105. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits us, and don't be like those who تَفَرَّقُوا, who separated and divided themselves, وَاخْتَلَفُوا, and differed and argued and disputed, مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ, after the clear evidences have come to them. وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And these for them is a tremendous, a terrible punishment. The end result of ikhtilaf and tafarruq, differing and disputing and arguing and separating amongst the believers, the end result of it is the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah has prohibited us from separating from one another and dividing ourselves and differing and disputing and arguing and fighting. The next question, how does the author, that is Shaykh Muhammad Ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, how does he describe the view of the latter generation concerning al-istira', separation and division, and al-ijtima', unity and community and getting together? In the end of this asl, in the end of this principle, he has said, then the matter reached a point such that al-tafarruq, separation and division in the fundamentals of the deen, in the aqidah, and in the secondary branches of the deen, that is in jurisprudence, that this separation and division and these things, it became recognized as al-ilm wal-fiqh fi-deen. And the people began to believe that this was really the true knowledge. And this was the real understanding of the deen, while being united and coming together and working with one another in the deen. He described their understanding of the matter, that they would say that no one falls to such except a deviant or a crazy person. Number five, what are the four categories of proof mentioned by the sharih? That is the explainer or expounder of the second fundamental. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Khalid Uthaymeen rahimahullah has mentioned that this great principle is proved, and it is indicated in a number of sources of evidences. The first of them, Kitab Allah, the Book of Allah, and the second of them, the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third of them, the practice or the actions of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And the last of them, the position or the understanding or the agreement of the Salaf al-Salih, the righteous predecessors, yani those early generations of the Muslims, which actually includes the Sahaba as well as the Tabi'een and those who came after them. And he said that these were the four main categories of proofs that support this principle. The Book of Allah, the Quran, the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the practice of Sahaba, and as well the practice of the righteous predecessors, the early generation of the Muslims, Salaf al-Salih. Mention a dalil or proof from the second and third category of proofs for this fundamental. Yani from the second and third category, meaning from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the practice of the Sahaba. From the Sunnah, the Shaykh has mentioned a number of hadith, and amongst them, that which is reported by Bukhari Muslim, al-Muslimu akhul Muslim, that the Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. And therefore he said, he does not wrong him, nor abandon him, nor despise him. And he went on to say that kullu Muslim ala Muslim haram, damuhu wa irduhu wa maluhu, that every Muslim to another Muslim is sacred. His blood, and his life, as well as his honor, speaking ill against him, and as well as his wealth or his property. He mentioned other hadith, such as the hadith reported also in Bukhari Muslim, al-mu'minu lil-mu'mini kal-bunyan, that the believer to another believer is like a building, a solid structure. It should be ba'duhu ba'dan, that some parts of it support other parts. This is the likeness of how the believers should be to one another, not separating from one another and fighting one another. Likewise, the hadith of Abi Darda radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet said, shall I not inform you of that which is better, a higher status than fasting and prayer and sadaqah, meaning voluntary fasting and prayer and sadaqah? They said, please inform us, yes, bala, inform us. The Prophet said, salahu dhat al-dayn, yani correcting and rectifying and restoration of the relations between those who disputed from amongst the believers. Indeed, the one who foils these matters, who corrupts them and causes dispute and confusion amongst the believers, and this is al-halika, that which cuts or shaves or removes. And in one of the narrations of that hadith reported by Tirmidhi, he said, I don't mean al-halika, meaning that which you shave the head with, but he said that al-halika means that which destroys the root of the deen itself, and its division and separation and disputing. That which destroys the deen itself from its root. And islah, that will bain, and correcting and rectifying the disputes and problems between the Muslims and bringing them together. He said, this is better than voluntary fasting and prayer and charity, and rectifying the problems between the Muslims. What is meant by the expression of Salaf al-Salih? Salaf al-Salih, literally it means the predecessors, the Salaf, those who came before you. And al-Salih, it means the righteous predecessors. And it refers to Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, the companions of the Prophet, and those who came after them, the students, the tabi'un, and those who came after them, the tabi'in, and whoever followed from their way. Number 8, plain al-qa'ida, the principle which the Salaf al-Salih, the righteous predecessors, have observed concerning al-mas'al al-khilafiyya, differences of opinion. And this is a very important point which the Shaykh has stressed. What is the principle, the qaida, that the righteous predecessors, the Salaf al-Salih, whether from amongst the Sahaba or Tabi'in or those who came after them, what is the principle that they have observed, that they have recognized concerning al-mas'al al-khilafiyya, yani issues about which there is difference of opinion? And that qaida is that wherever there was a difference of opinion that is based upon ijtihad, it's not based on following desires, but it is based on sincere ijtihad by those who are the people qualified to make ijtihad. And it is from those things in which ijtihad is allowed, not in those things where there is no room for ijtihad. It is based, the difference of opinion is based on ijtihad, and it is in those things in which ijtihad is allowed, he said, then they used to, some of them used to excuse others, and they didn't used to hold spite or enmity or hatred, but they used to consider one another as brothers. This is a very important principle that the Muslims today need to observe, that when there is a difference of opinion, that is based on ijtihad. And it is in those matters in which ijtihad is allowed, and we should excuse one another and overlook and maintain our brotherhood? In what case or situation would al-khilaf, difference of opinion, not be allowed or accepted? Yani when is difference of opinion not allowed and when is it not accepted? And the Shaykh has also clarified this point by saying, it is that difference which is in contradiction to what we have found agreed upon by al-Sahaba and the Tabi'een in the early generation of the Muslims, like the issues of aqidah, in which the people have deviated, those who have deviated, whether from the amongst the Ash'ariyah or Jahmiyyah or Mu'tazila or whoever the people, the Rafidah, Shia, all of those who have differed in the matters of aqidah, it is in these matters that, in the matters of aqidah especially, that there's no room for difference of opinion, and more so if it is a matter about which it is clear that the position of the Sahaba, the companion of the Prophet ﷺ, was already established. However, if there is a matter about which there was difference of opinion in time of Sahaba, and it is of those things in which ijtihad is allowed, then it is permissible that there be difference of opinion amongst the people today. The last question, the Sifat Hadith, when the judge makes a ruling and strives to reach the correct opinion and is correct, he will have two rewards. And if he strives to reach the correct opinion and then errs, he will have one reward. We quote about Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ said in this hadith, إِذَا حَكَمَ الْحَاكِمُ فَاجْتَحَدَ فَأَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرَانٌ. That when the judge, and he makes a ruling in the matter, and he makes ijtihad to reach the right opinion, and he reaches the correct opinion, then he gets two rewards. And if he حَكَمَ فِي, and he made a ruling in a matter, وَاجْتَحَدَ فِي فَأَخْطَأَ, but he erred, he reached the wrong opinion, فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ, then he will have one reward. Some of the meanings of this hadith that may be derived from it is that the one who makes ijtihad, if he errs, he will still get a reward, even though he has erred, he has reached the wrong opinion. And that reward that he gets is based on his ijtihad, the effort that he has made. And also equally important is the point that his error is forgiven. His error is forgiven. It is not held against him that he has erred, because he is allowed to make ijtihad. And in fact, he is rewarded for his ijtihad. But he only gets one reward. While the one who reads the correct opinion gets the reward for his ijtihad as well as the reward for reaching the correct opinion. And this is also a proof that ijtihad is allowed until this day, and that ikhtilaf is also allowed, and it is not necessarily in every case a blameworthy or any condemnable matter. The third aqal that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has mentioned, an aqal al-thalith, very brief, although the explanation of it is somewhat lengthy. He said, "Inna min tamam al-ijtima'i al-sam'a wa ta'ata liman ta'amra alayna, walau kana abdan habashiyan." That from the perfection or the completeness of ijtima', coming together in unity and community, from the completion of it, that which completes it is as-sam'a wa ta'a, hearing and obeying the one who has been placed in authority over us, and from amongst the Muslims. وَلَوْ كَانَ عَبْدًا حَبَشِيًا, even if he was an Ethiopian slave, and even if he was of the lowest status of the people, from slavery, the one who has been placed in authority over the Muslim must be obeyed. And this is part of the perfection of ijtima', because it is through obedience to those in authority from amongst the Muslims, so the Muslims are able to unite and come together. فَبَيْنَ اللَّهَ هَذَا بَيَانًا شَاعِيًا كَافِيًا بِوُجُوهٍ مِّنْ أَنْوَاعِ الْبَيَانِ شَرْعًا وَقَدْرًا. Then he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this very clear with an understanding that is common amongst the people that everyone has access to, and it is kafi and sufficient to remove all doubts or confusion. بِوُجُوهٍ مِّنْ أَنْوَاعِ الْبَيَانِ, by different ways of clarification. شَرْعًا وَقَدْرًا. شَرْعًا, يعني that which came in the Sharia, meaning that which was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the Quran and the authentic Sunnah. And Qadran, meaning al-Qadr al-Qadha, that which Allah has decreed, which He has pre-decreed, and then He executed His decree. Through these two things, that which He has revealed and that which He has decreed and executed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made clear to us this principle of the importance of hearing and obeying. ثُمَّ صَارَ هَذَا الْعَصْلُ لَا يُعْرَفُ عِنْدَ أَكْثَرِ مَنْ يَدَّعِ الْعِلْمِ. فَكَيْفَ الْعَمَلُ بِهِ. Then the matter reached the point where this particular principle became something unknown, even amongst most of those who claim to have knowledge, who claim to be scholars. So if it is unknown amongst them, how can it be acted upon? And how do you expect that people will act upon if even those who claim to have knowledge, they also don't know? The questions that were mentioned with this lecture, the first of them, what is al-aql al-thalith, the third fundamental mentioned by the author? It is that from the completion of the perfection of coming together, ijtina' is hearing and obeying those in authority from amongst the Muslims, ulat al-amr. That is by fulfilling that which they have ordered us with and refraining from that which they have prohibited us from, even if the one who has been placed in authority over us was an Ethiopian slave, as came in a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Number two, what are the two basic types of clarification, anwa' al-bayan, mentioned by the author? The two types of clarification that the Shaykh has mentioned, it is that which he has clarified through the Sharia, shara'an, and that which he has clarified through his divine decree, hadaran, meaning shara'an, that which Allah has revealed, the revelation, the Quran and the authentic Sunnah, and hadaran means that which Allah has decreed and executed. What does the author mean by making this matter clear? Shara'an, yani he means that he has made it clear through that which he has revealed in the revelation, in that which he has revealed in the Quran and Sunnah. The fourth question, mention a proof from the Quran for this fundamental, this asl. And the Shaykh has also mentioned in the Sharh a number of evidences from amongst them that which report, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 59, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu atiu Allah wa atiu Rasul wa uli al-amri minkum. O you who believe, obey Allah, and obey the Messenger, and those who are in authority from amongst you, and from amongst the Muslims. Whether it is the ulama, the scholars, or the umara, the leaders, the rulers, obey those in authority from amongst you. And at the end of the ayat, it makes it clear that original obedience is due to Allah and His Messenger, and obedience to those in authority is as long as what they have ordered us to do is not in contradiction to the Quran or the Sunnah. Likewise, he has mentioned in Surah Anfal, chapter 8, verse 46, فَاطِعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Obey Allah and obey His Messenger. And do not dispute with one another. Do not dispute. Because in that case, you will lose courage and your power will be removed, will leave you. So be patient. And be patient. And verily Allah is with those who are patient. Mention a proof from the Sunnah for this fundamental. And again, the Shaykh has mentioned a number of proofs. The first of them he mentioned is the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu, which is mentioned by al-Bukhari and Muslim, in which he said, بايعنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على السمع والطاعة. That the Prophet of Allah has taken allegiance from us upon this matter of hearing and obeying, that which is pleasant to us, or that which is unpleasant, that which is difficult, and that which is easy, and even when we find the rule is giving preference to themselves over us. He said, don't dispute the authority of those who are in authority. وَلَا نُنَازِعُوا الْأَمْرَ أَهْلَهُ. And don't dispute the authority of those who have been given authority, unless you see amongst them يعني كفراً بواحاً and clear كفر that they have gone out of Islam and the من الله فيه برهان يعني and you have some proof, clear proof concerning their كفر. You have a clear proof from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning their كفر. In that case, they will be forbid. Likewise, he mentioned that whoever holds back his hand from obedience, then he will meet Allah in Yawm al-Qiyamah without any proof for what he has done, يعني disobedience. And he said, hear and obey, even if the one who is placing authority over you is an Ethiopian slave. And he said that it was also obligatory on the Muslim person to hear and obey, and that which he loves and that which he hates, and that he is ordered إِلَّا أَنْ يُؤْمَرَ بِمَعْصِيَةٍ فَإِذَا عُمِرَ بِمَعْصِيَةٍ فَلَا تَعَى وَلَا تَعَى. Except the one who is ordered to do an act of disobedience to Allah, or whoever is ordered to do, the ruler ordered him to do that which is a disobedience to Allah, and in that case he shouldn't listen to him, nor should he obey him. Explain how Allah has made clear this matter, qadaran. Yani, in what way has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this principle of hearing and obeying clear by His divine decree? And the Shaykh said that if we look at the condition of the Muslim ummah at the time when they were holding fast to their deen, when they were united upon the deen, and while they were respecting those in authority from amongst them, and obeying their authority in the ma'ruf, in that which they ordered them to do of good. In that time we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed, and He executed His decree, and He made the Muslim Ummah to have supremacy and rule and dominion in the upper hand in the earth. When they deviate from that, from the deen, and refused to obey those in authority from amongst them, then they lost authority in the earth and became those who ruled by others. The last question, what has the Shari'ah, the explainer, that is Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Uthaymeen, suggested as being obligatory upon us all, the rulers and the rule? What has he suggested as being obligatory upon us all in order to be amongst the Zaideen, the successful, the winners, and those who earn success, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this life and even more so in the next life? He says that the wajib, that which is obligatory upon all of us, فالواجب علينا جميعا رؤات ورعية, the rulers as well as those who are ruled, that everyone should fulfill the obligation which Allah has placed upon them. And if the rulers have to fulfill the obligation and the rule, the subjects also have to fulfill the obligations that Allah has placed upon them, having love for one another and cooperating with one another in righteousness and piety, and coming together for the benefit, for the general common benefit of the people, and that way we will be of those successful. Likewise, he has said that we should join together, that we should join together based on the truth, and we should support and cooperate with one another based on the truth. And likewise, he said, وَأَنُّخْلِصَ فِي جَمِيعَ أَعْمَالِنَا, that we should have ikhlas and sincerity in all of our actions, and that we should strive for one goal, حَدَفْ وَاحِدْ, and that is the correction and reformation of this ummah, the correction and reformation in worldly matters as well as in religious matters. And he said, we should do so to the best of our ability, but we will never be able to do that until we agree to come together and unite upon one word for unity, and we avoid disputing with one another, opposing one another. This disputing and opposition, it would only cause us to lose that which we have as an objective, and maybe even to lose that which we have already gained. The fifth fundamental, al-asl al-qamit, that the Shaykh had mentioned, fourth? After. Fourth.